Come on, as you're standing this morning, go ahead and continue to clap your hands and thank him for the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. Greater love hath no man than this, that you would lay down your life, hallelujah, to save ours. Remain standing. I want to go into the word of the Lord tonight, this morning. Praise God. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Praise the Lord. One more time, I want to thank this church for allowing me to come and share this youth week with you. We've been having some awesome times in the presence of the Lord and thankful for what God's been doing the past nights this week in the lives of the students of this church, and also the adults that came to support. Thank you so much. Praise God. Young people, why don't you give them a hand for coming to support you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't you lift your hands right now. Hallelujah. Scripture says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, this is John, whom we call the Baptist. He is speaking here. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Everybody say, the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. You know, early church, well, when I say early church, I'm talking about the early modern church, 19th century church, as it was developing. Apostolic Pentecostal movement of today was developing. There's a saying that has lingered over the years that we need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. Holy Ghost and fire. And, you know, the Holy Ghost is not necessarily separate and apart from the fire of God. We know that. And we get that from this scripture, but there is something to having some fire about your Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, this world they have enough dead, dry, stale churches, Christians around. They don't need another. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not just enough to have the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost ought to have you. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I wonder this morning if we can just begin to clap our hands and praise the Lord for a few seconds and just begin to stir up that gift on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, you ought to have some fire about your Holy Ghost. You ought to have some excitement about you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I came to have some church. I came to worship God. Hallelujah. I came to see some healing. I came to see lives transformed by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I feel like it is the will of God for the people of God to bring back the fire. Why don't you poke your neighbor in the shoulder and say, bring back the fire. Bring it back. Where'd you put that? Where'd you put that excitement? Where'd you put that energetic worship? Where'd you stash that away? I want you to go ahead and bring that back. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Lift your hands and help me pray and ask God to speak to you today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your power. Thank you for the worship that has gone forth this morning, Lord God, to create an atmosphere for your word to pierce and penetrate every heart. and mind that needs a touch from you, Lord God. So, Lord, we place this service in your hands. Do what only you can do. Thank you for your heavenly hosts that have joined us. Loose them to minister to your people again, Lord God. Loose the operations of the gifts of God amongst us, Lord. Pour out your power, Lord God, and fill every empty heart. Heal every broken body, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We pray and give you all the glory. Hallelujah. All the honor and all the praise. Clap your hands one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you're seated, look the person sitting next to you square in the eyeball and say, bring back the fire. Hallelujah. For hundreds of years, mankind has harnessed the power of electric currents to use it as a very viable source of energy. But because of electricity, a man by the name of Thomas Edison was able to develop what we know today as the light bulb. And the advent of the light bulb revolutionized the known world as it took the use of this electrical power and turned it into a usable, visible utility. However, thousands of years earlier, before there was ever the usage of electric currents, a single element dominated the world of energy. Everybody say fire. Fire. Fire produces heat. Fire consumes waste. Fire emits light and brightens its surroundings. And today, I want to declare in this house this morning that it is the perfect will of God for every one of us to be affected, impacted, and transformed by the fire. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about a natural fire. I'm talking about a supernatural fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Many times in Scripture, God manifests his power through this earthly element of fire. We see in the story of Moses as he is leading this flock of sheep on the backside of the mountain, gets to a bush. The Bible says that it was engulfed with a flame, but it was not consumed. And so Moses began to turn to this site, and God's voice, God's spirit was upon that bush, and it began to be burning, and there was flames on this bush, but it was not torn down or consumed, but a voice began to be uttered from this fire. And so God manifested his presence and his word to mankind in this earthly element of fire. And the lives of the Israelites, Exodus chapter 3 verse 21 tells us that the Lord went before them as they were leaving Egyptian bondage, that God went before them as a pillar of cloud by day to lead them by the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light to go by day and by night. I want you to notice that they were leaving Egyptian bondage after many plagues that God released on the enemies of the Israelites. The Pharaoh finally let the people go, and as they were pursuing their promise, the armies of the Egyptians began to come back after them to bring them back into the enslavement and bondage they were just freed from. But God intervened and stepped in the lives of those that were loosed and set free, not just in the daytime, but also in the nighttime. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for a God that's not just with you in the day, but he's with you in the night? He's not just with you through the good, but he's with you through the bad. And when dark times arise, there's a fire of the Holy Ghost. There's a fire that'll come in your life and separate you from the enemies of your past. When the enemy tries to bring you back into addiction, bring you back into sin and bondage, the fire of the Holy Ghost will come down and separate you. Hallelujah. Somebody say fire. So God manifests his presence, his power, his word through this earthly element of fire. Even the Bible goes as far as to say in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, that our God is a consuming fire. So the Spirit of God manifests itself as fire. And in order to get the fire, you've got to get the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. And so we look at this scripture that we read in Matthew chapter 3. And the Bible is saying John is opening up his mouth, and the cousin of Jesus Christ, he's seeing Jesus come, and he's beginning to give this little discourse here about this Jesus that is coming on the scene, about to launch his ministry and revolutionize the known world. The Bible says, John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. He was referencing something that would happen on the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled, that sound filled all the house where they were sitting, kind of like how we're here today sitting and worshiping and enjoying the presence of God. They were up in that upper room, and the Bible says there was a sound of a rushing wind that filled the house, and the Bible says after that sound began to fill that house, there appeared unto them cloven tongues, or different types of languages, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, when you read this scripture on the surface, it kind of seems a little weird, a little awkward, that cloven tongues like a fire. Were their tongues on fire? Or what was going on? And the fire was sitting on them. What's going on here? But what was going on in here? The Bible says in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the words to say. Hallelujah. Because that's what happens when you get the fire in your life. So as the Holy Ghost is being poured out, they have no other way to describe what's happening but to say, something is happening here. These people speaking in different languages, and they explained it like it's like a fire that was on the inside of them. And it wasn't just on the inside of them. It was sitting on them. It was resting so heavily in that atmosphere. That's the only way they can describe how it was happening. It reminds me of that old prophet of Jeremiah, when he was speaking the word of God, and he began to go through some bad times, and he didn't want to speak anymore, but he had to open his mouth because he said, the word was in me like fire shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. And he couldn't keep his mouth quiet because he had a fire inside of him. That's what happens when you get the fire on the end. Your mouth has got to open and you'll begin to speak. If you really have the fire, you don't have a problem witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you really got the fire, you don't have a problem bringing somebody to church or teaching a Bible study. When you really got the fire, you'll start a P7 club. I can't be quiet about this thing I've got on the inside, because there's something burning within me and I can't stay still. I can't stay silent. I've got to lift my voice. I've got to move. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to them and say, do you have the fire? And don't let them just look at you kind of, you know, weird and say, don't talk to me, you know. That's how we look at people sometimes in church when we're trying to be a little interactive. We're like, well, I'm just here. Don't touch me. Don't worship too loudly or too boisterously or beside me, because I'm going to scoot over in my pew, and I don't want anybody to be going all crazy and getting all excited. But you got to have some fire about your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And when you have fire on the inside of you, you can't stay still. Oh, hallelujah. That's why we can have people running the aisles in church. That's why we can have young people jumping up and down and people getting to their feet and praising the Lord, because they've got something on the inside of them. Brother DeLong, I heard about a device that firemen carry around with them, and when they are going into a dangerous situation, they have on themselves something called a PASS device. It's a personal alert safety system. And this device will send out a beacon. It will send out a sound when there's no movement. And so in order to cut this device off, you've got to move. Because this device is a safety mechanism so that when they go into danger, someone will be notified that they are in trouble. Right? And if there's no movement in the middle of a fire, something's wrong. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you what, there's a fire on the inside of this service this morning. And if you're not moving, something's dead either in you or around you. But if you've got a fire on the inside, it makes you want to praise. It makes you want to worship. Come on, poke your neighbor in the shoulder. Say, get with the program. Stir up that flame on the inside of you. It's time to get a hold of the Holy Ghost and... Come on, is this how you got the Holy Ghost? Come on, turn. Ask your neighbor. Come on, let's get a little interactive. Turn to the person next to you and say, is this how you acted when you got the Holy Ghost? Were you this quiet? Were you this... Were you this sedated? Were you this conservative? Were you this reserved? Hallelujah. When I got the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, I didn't get it quietly. Hallelujah. When I got the Holy Ghost, I didn't know. I couldn't stay still, but something got a hold of me, and I had to open my mouth. I had to let a sound out. And if this is not what you've been doing when you first got the Holy Ghost, you need to find that fire and bring it back. Hallelujah. You need, if we're going to advance in the kingdom of God, it's going to take some people that are on fire. Not enough just to have the Holy Ghost. You got to have some fire about your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So we're looking at scripture here, and we can conclude that the fire of God, through the Spirit of God, was intended for God's people to have as a weapon against the kingdom of darkness and a key to gain access into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. And when people get the fire on the inside of them, that's what makes the devil upset. And I know sometimes we feel like, well, if I start going to church, if I start living right, if I get a breakthrough, everything's going to be fine. And then when you actually do all those things, the total opposite happens. You're faithful in your prayer life. All of a sudden you get way busy. And things start messing up your schedule. You forget to pray. You get faithful in your giving, and all of a sudden, bills start coming out of the wazoo that you didn't even realize that you had to pay, and things kind of mess things up. He's trying to disrupt the fire, the momentum of the Spirit of God in your life. In the Bible, it says in Acts chapter 28, a man by the name of Paul, he was going through a storm. And the Bible says that storm caused him to be shipwrecked, found himself on an island, and there were some people there. Everybody say savages. Hashtag savage, right? Barbarian people, barbarous people. And the Bible says this is what they did to show kindness to those that were shipwrecked. This is how they remedied the situation. The Bible says they showed us no little kindness, meaning they were very generous and very kind to us by doing what? Hallelujah. Before you try to counsel somebody, before you try to give somebody your 2 cents or advice, you need to get, oh, hallelujah. You need to get them to get near some fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because more than anything, I can tell people the Holy Ghost can come in and remedy every dark situation. So the Bible says that they kindle a fire and receive everybody toward the fire because of the present darkness and present cold. So, you know, Paul could have sat around, kind of hung out, Round the fire, got out his acoustic guitar and started singing, Kumbaya, my Lord. Because, you know, that's what we do when we have, you know, fires. You know, I know y'all have bonfires and stuff like that. You get around and people start toasting marshmallows and, you know, putting them on some Hershey's and graham crackers and, you know, or Reese's and graham crackers. Y'all know about that. And so we can, you do now. That's right. Sorry, I'm a foodie, so. But you could get around the fire and just enjoy everybody else creating this flame. But Paul said, that's not enough for me. I don't just want to be around the fire. I want to partake in the flame that is going on. And so he decided, let me go ahead and gather some fuel for this fire. He went around, began to pick up some sticks and some dry wood that he can put into this fire. And the Bible says that as he placed those sticks in the fire, something jumped out of the flame and latched onto him. Bible says it was a snake, a serpent, a viper that latched on to Paul. Not because he was around the fire, because the snake didn't bother him when he was just around the fire. The snake didn't even bother him when he was picking up sticks. But as soon as he went to grow the flame that was already there, that's when this enemy decided, I've got to stop you now. Because you're doing something that's making me a little bit uncomfortable. Hallelujah. And I want to give some clarity here. Most people, they think in terms of Satan, the devil, as he's some big old, you know, swole, you know, we use the word swole, but he's like built, you know, big old muscles and has a long tail, has a little pitchfork in his hand, and he's sitting on this big chair amongst the flames of hell. That's actually not the truth. I'm not sure if he's a horned being, but the Bible mostly refers to him as a serpent, reptile. And reptiles don't like fire. They like those dark, damp, cold places. And that's where he likes to live, in places that have not been exposed to the fire. Hallelujah. And that's where you'll find the devil hiding out in your life. Any aspect of your life you have not exposed to the Spirit of God, he will hide there until you do something to disrupt his place of residence. And as soon as Paul decided, I'm going to grow this fire, that's when the enemy wanted to stop him. So this viper jumps out and latches onto his hand. To do what? One, to distract him, because he was doing something that intimidated this serpent. Hallelujah. The devil don't like your fire. He doesn't like the flame of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't like the heat of the power of God in your life. Hallelujah. And the more you grow that in your life, is the more he'll try to stop you. But the only way to get rid of that serpent is to do what caused him to attack you in the first place. Don't get distracted. Don't get dismayed. Keep growing the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's what Paul did. He went right back over to that fire. He didn't stop and begin to say, woe is me. He didn't have a pity party. He didn't say, oh, I'm doing the will of God and all these bad things are happening to me. He didn't start complaining. He just went back over to that fire and shook the beast off right back in to the fire. Hallelujah. That's how you get rid of him. You've got... Everybody say he shook him off. Somebody shake. Shake your hand. Make it a little bit more comfortable. Now that causes you to actually move. It provokes you to not stay still. You can't get rid of the enemy by staying still. You've got to move. You've got to...
I want to take a little pause right here and say, if you really want that enemy off your life, you've got to move. You've got to worship. You've got to praise. Because a steel target is easier to hit. And if I'm moving, I'm going to make it hard for this enemy to stay in my life. I've got to worship.
Look at this. This serpent latches on to his hand. For what purpose? What are you trying to do, serpent? This is what the serpent's trying to do. He's trying to stop him from doing what he was doing. How is he going to stop him? He's latching on to his hand. How does he latch on? How does a serpent latch on to somebody? He
bites you.
He'll bite you. And how does he bite you?
His teeth.
With his teeth. And what are his teeth called?
Fangs.
Fangs. And what comes out of fangs?
Venom.
Venom. The enemy gets so upset at your willingness to grow the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life, he'll try to use his mouth to release something in your system, and that venom begins to get through your bloodstream. It contaminates your body and begins to affect your nervous system, takes away your sensitivity. Because he don't want you to be able to feel anything. You're not moved anymore by outside stimuli. You've lost your sensitivity. You've lost your ability to feel something. Hallelujah. And the only reason why someone could be in the midst of a fire or in the presence of the power of God and not feel anything is because something has been released in your life. The enemy has put his poison from his mouth. That's exactly how he does it. He'll open his mouth and begin to release poison in your life. Through words, through thoughts, through other people, he'll release poison in your life to contaminate your spirit. And the contamination allows you to not feel God like how you should feel him in an atmosphere like this. You can't feel the power. You can't respond to God because something has been released in your life. Whether through a bad prognosis of the doctor, whether through bad news from a family member, maybe some argument or even gossip or negative words spoken over you, venom has been released in your life. But the only way to get rid of this enemy is to begin to move. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. And I wish somebody would begin to respond to the power of the Lord that's trying to get a hold of you right now, because somebody's about to get a spiritual blood transfusion. The Holy Ghost is going to come into your life and begin to make you new again, but you can't sit down. Now, let me qualify. I'm not trying to be mean here. I am being aggressive, but I'm not being mean. Because it's not the will of God for you to leave this place the same way you came in. That is not the will of God. It's not the will of God for you to just have this is a great Sunday morning. You know, you spent your time in church. Check that off of your to-do list for the week. No, that's not the will of God. When you come into the house of the Lord has some power reserved for you to walk out with. So that, hallelujah. You know how Paul knew what to do with that serpent? It's not the first time he dealt with that type of spirit. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16 that Paul was walking around with his traveling companion by the name of Silas. and they were breaking into new territory, got into a city, began to speak the word of God. And the Bible says as they went to prayer, how convenient, as they went to prayer, there was someone who had a spirit on the inside of them, began to follow them around and say, these men are the men of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, when you hear that, you're like, well, that's awesome. We're getting some free marketing here. I mean, we got a local advocating for our ministry. And while everything she was saying was right, her spirit was wrong. Is that possible? For people to be able to say all the right things, but they have some really bad intentions? Oh, hallelujah. What she was trying to do was get close enough, adjoin herself to Paul and Silas. Hallelujah. Because the spirit within her knew that the spirit within them was coming to kick spirits out. And Paul got so aggravated that she was doing this every day because he knew something was off. Everything she was saying and even doing was right and it was accurate, but something was off. And so he turned, addressed that spirit. The Bible says she had a spirit of divination. Now the original text, the word they use was the Greek word pythos. That's the word they use. She had a spirit of pythos. Guess what that is? It's a serpent-like, very subtle spirit. And this is how he began to address that spirit. He cast that spirit out. And then what happened? The leaders of that day, people that were making money off of her, because she was, you know, she had that ability to, you know, do her, you know, fortune-telling, tarot card reading, you know, astrology kind of, you know, horoscope kind of, Pokemon kind of, you know what I'm saying? And so she couldn't do that anymore. And so people that were making money off of her got upset. And they caught Paul and Silas, beat them up, and threw them into the inner prison. Now, they weren't in general population. They were in the inner prison, the prison within the prison. Kind of like a solitary confinement, but it wasn't solitary because there's two of them in there, right? You know, I get it. But they were in there, in this inner prison, and the Bible says they could have balled up in a fetal position, sucked their thumbs, and cried for mommy. But that's not what they did. The Bible says, at midnight, hallelujah, Paul and Silas opened their mouth. The Bible says they prayed and sang praises unto God. And hear it now, the Bible says the prisoners heard them. For the other prisoners to hear what they were doing, they weren't quiet because they were in the inner prison. And everybody in the outer prison heard what they were doing in the inner prison. So they were, everybody say loud. They were making a joyful whisper. They were really loud in that prison. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that when they responded to their current situation in that day, suddenly there was an earthquake that shook the foundations of the prisons. Everyone's bands were loosed. Every door swung open because of their response. And you know how that's going to happen in this place? You know how people's bands are going to be loosed in this place? You know how prison doors are going to be opened in this place? You know how Jericho walls are going to fall down in this place when the people of God begin to lift their voice? Come on, stand with me this morning and begin to lift your hands and begin to lift your voice and let the devil know, I'm not going to keep you around. I'm going to... I'm bringing back the fire. I'm stirring something up.
Come on, I'm not going to give a formal altar call, but if you feel like God wants to shake some things off of you, now's not the time to stay in your seat. Now's the time to step out and say, I'm not leaving here with the same baggage that's latched on. I'm not leaving here with the same problems that latched on. I'm not leaving here with my life full of the devil's venom. Come on, that's how you get a hold of it. You gotta move. You gotta shout. You gotta magnify him. Come on, we got people being renewed and refilled and restored. Why not you? Come on, go ahead and get what God has for you right now. Come on, somebody ought to get a hold of that fire. And when that fire begins to move on the inside of you, you can't stay still like you used to. You've got to move. You've got to shake. You've got to quake and let that enemy fall off. Come on, if you're nearby somebody, if you're nearby somebody that needs to pray right now, don't let them just stand there by themselves. Either take them by the hand and bring them up here, or you go to where they are and begin to lift their hands up to heaven and lay a hand on their shoulder or gently on their forehead and begin to take authority right now and pray over them. You know why you can do that? Because fire is contagious. Hallelujah. And if you've got it, go ahead and bring it to where it needs to burn.
Stop. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus.
Consuming against the enemy, I am consuming.